You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Ariel Mierendorf of Fitness by Ariel. Ariel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
That is fantastic. So Fitness by Ariel, we're talking is January 2019.
Yep.
And I imagine either your phone is ringing off the hook from a bunch of people that are making promises that they expect to break in about a month or two.
That's right.
Or maybe people already signed up in December and they're getting ready for the promises they're going to break. So let's get started there. How about you tell us what you do?
Sure. Yeah, I primarily focus on personal training, both mm-hmm. one-on-one training, partner training, and small group training.
Sure.
And I'm also a group fitness instructor, so okay. I also kind of bop around teaching different types of fitness classes. I teach
sure.
some yoga, I teach some spin class.
And, oh, wow.
Other kind of boot camp classes. And things
okay.
like that.
That's pretty diverse then.
It's diverse. And then my newest venture is running a fitness and wellness retreat,
mm-hmm.
Which I ran for the first time last year. And we're looking forward to running it for 2 weeks.
Nice.
Year. So
very cool.
Kind of our big project.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the retreat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is that around here?
The retreat is not. It's in Montana.
Okay.
It's in northwestern Montana on a okay. little herb farm called Spirit Works Herb Farm.
Oh, weird. Okay.
And I had worked there, volunteered there on her farm previously in the past, so we have a good relationship with the owner of the farm. That's kind of how we got linked up with them.
Sure.
And so my good friend and I, she's a massage therapist, and I'm mm-hmm. a fitness gal, and so together we kind of have a holistic approach to fitness and wellness. And
nice.
We go hiking and... enjoy the big sky country.
Sure, cool. Yeah. I'm gonna move this a little bit.
Yeah.
So, she's got massage. You got fitness. So essentially, you just abuse them, and then she helps them recover. Is that the idea?
Kind of. So last year was our first year, so we actually learned a lot running it the first year, and we like for people to kind of make it their own thing. Like mm-hmm. I think for the most part, people are just excited to be off of
sure.
work and relax. And so some people prefer more like the meditation, the yoga, and mm-hmm. they'll have more opportunity to do that. But then there's also the opportunity to work out once or twice a day. That's a little bit more, it could be high intensity, but
sure.
I kind of cater to all levels as well.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit of everything. We have a chef on site that cooks all
do
of
you really?
Our, mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
So she's going to cook all of our food from, food on the farm for okay. the most part. So all the veggies are harvested on
wow.
site. All the eggs are from the chickens that live there on the farm. And,
okay.
Then we take people to Glacier National Park usually.
Oh, very cool.
Or somewhere around mm-hmm. that area to go hiking.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So how did you end up, one, coming up with this retreat thing, two, getting the partners, and then three, figuring out exactly where you were going to have it?
Yeah, sure. I've always wanted to run some sort of camp or retreats, or even as a kid, like I
mm-hmm.
loved organizing people
okay.
and organizing things and coming mm-hmm. up with like 3-day plans or 1-week plans.
Uh-huh.
What will we do every day? And
sure.
So it's always been a goal of mine to mm-hmm. do that. And my friend and I, we work really well together. We're kind of like the perfect partnership where we both
nice.
Have different things we're good at. I,
mm-hmm.
I always say she's like more organized and I'm more like stream of consciousness
oh, sure.
person, but we really complete each other in that
mm-hmm.
way, I think. And so her and I, it was like the perfect fit. And she's the one who I worked with on the farm. So
oh, very
between
cool.
the three of us, the farm owner,
sure.
It was kind of a perfect fit as to where we would run it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as for finding our partners, we try to stick with as local as possible.
Mm-hmm.
One, because it's cheaper for
sure.
us to hire someone who's local.
Right.
And we like to support local business. And
mm-hmm.
growing up in a family that runs a small local business, we
mm-hmm.
really value being able to support other
sure.
small local businesses. So we found a yoga teacher who's local. This year, we're looking to hire an herbalist and a naturopath to run
oh,
a
wow.
few of the workshops.
Okay.
And so... while we're kind of the overseers and I do fitness, she does the massage. We have other people come in to offer different
okay.
self-healing classes
sure.
and different meditations or workshops.
Sure.
So.
Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of putting together. And you're putting something together when it's halfway across the country, right?
Right. Yeah. So it was interesting kind of starting the business this year because the address, I think the address we used to start it was in Arizona, the address where we run run the business is in Montana. She lives in Washington and I live in Wisconsin. So it's kind of confusing when we try to deal with kind of the logistics of the
business.
That's
funny.
But yeah, it works.
So did you have to get there a few days early to set everything up? Or?
Yeah, she was around that area during that time, my business partner. And so she went there about a week early and got everything ready. And actually last year we did all the cooking. I should say we. She did the most of the cooking.
Okay.
So she had to get there early and meal prep a lot of the food. And like I said, we learned a lot the first year. And one of the main things we learned is that we can't organize the whole thing, offer what we offer, and cook everything.
Oh, sure.
And be the mediators for every single thing going on. You know, if anyone had questions or needed something, but there was something happening in the kitchen and I had to go pick up the rental car, it was like only her and I.
Sure.
And so we definitely, it went really well, and we just learned a lot about how to make our budget and how to use our time wisely. And this year we have a lot more time to prepare. Like, it's happening in September, and so we have, you know, what is 9 months or whatever. And so we feel a lot more relaxed this year. We already have some people signed up. So we're
very cool.
We're happy that we have a lot more cushion this year with the sign up.
Sure.
But it is a lot of work.
Oh, I bet. I bet any event is going to be a ton of work.
It's a ton of work.
Something halfway across the country, you're just adding different hurdles, I guess, is what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. And I think you've said this. I think you said this in one of the classes I took with you that was something like, it's easy to dream. And that really stuck with me, where people say, you know, dream big, chase your dreams. And for me, it's kind of like, that's not really helpful, because dreaming is easy.
Right. Like, super easy.
It's easy to be like, I have all these great ideas. You know, that's how I wake up every day. And if I just got stuck there, then nothing would ever happen. You know, it's all those little day-to-day steps that no one tells you how to put your nose to the grind. It's, well, people do, but
I like to think I do.
Yeah, you do.
I'm pretty sure I have classes that are specifically called nose to the grindstone, right? Yeah, but you're right. A lot of people, they have the whole inspirational you rah rah thing, but a lot of people don't necessarily need help with the you rah rah. They need help just getting their butt in gear.
Right.
And doing it. You could probably argue the same with health.
Right.
Right?
Right. So. And thinking it's going to be a certain way, you almost like can't have too many expectations, especially for a big event like that. And an event where people are coming for different reasons. Like, some people are coming for this kind of spiritual, you know, relaxing, rejuvenating time. Other people are there because they want to work out hard. They're excited to be on vacation, but they also want to do the fitness thing. And maybe they're are not so into the yoga stuff, or it's totally new to them.
Sure.
And so you have all these different personalities and different reasons for joining a retreat. And then when they all come together, you never know. Like, how can you prepare for that? You can't prepare for personalities.
I don't have a good answer there at all. No.
Right. And so you sort of, like, you do all this preparing, and then you just hope for the best and hope that people get along. And, you know, and so it almost makes it even more special when people leave saying, that was amazing, and the friendships that are created, you know, I feel like, we've somewhat facilitated it, but you can't force any of that. That just has to happen organically. And so,
absolutely.
It's really like a special thing.
No, that's fair. Yeah. That's totally fair. Yeah. That's interesting. Cause I wonder, you also have those clients that are going to be needy because they're away from home and away from maybe kids or family, job, whatever. And there's going to be others that are just totally going to be into it. Self-sustaining, independent kind of thing. And then I imagine you have to herd cats a little bit, telling them where to be or how to get them there. It's a new space. So, yeah, you get a lot of challenges there.
Definitely.
It sounds like fun, though.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it definitely is. We also learned people are not used to eating vegetarian. And, so this year we're trying to sort of figure out within our budget how to offer some meat. But we like to be mostly plant-focused.
Okay.
But that was definitely a challenge for a lot of people, and we found that if you're going to eat mostly plant-based, you still have to have a really rich diversity in what you're serving, because people get sick of beans.
Beans again.
And then their digestion's not so happy, you know. So yeah, you definitely learn some things the hard way, and so we'll get better every year.
That's all right.
Yeah,
learn as you go. That's nothing wrong with that. That's totally cool. I imagine every person that's ever had an event that they planned that has happened routinely is they've been in the same position, right? Where they had to just figure it out, and then, we got to learn, figure it out, move along. But by that time, it's growing, and the people that should have gotten it on the ground floor. No, it's too expensive for them or something like that.
Right.
It's so awesome, right?
And it's such a unique thing that we're there with them mm-hmm. versus like running a retreat or running a workshop or something where I sure. organize it, but then I'm sort of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. This is not that. You know,
right.
I'm the organizer, but also I'm the fitness instructor. Mm-hmm. And this year I'm stepping back quite a bit. I did quite a bit of the yoga
okay.
last year, and I found that to be challenging just putting my fitness mask on where I'm
sure.
I'm the you know, instructor. I'm also kind of the mediator
sure.
and giver of, you know, journal prompts and
sure.
things to think about, all of these. And then at night being the yin yoga person,
sure.
it was almost like two, and maybe the client or the guest wouldn't have said this.
Sure.
Maybe it was more on me, but you know, it's just hard to switch roles.
Sure.
And you're there so intimately with everyone else. You're eating mm-hmm. with everyone else. You don't get a spare minute to yourself. And
sure.
It's, you know, it's not for me. It's not my retreat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have kind of your role and then hire out other experts
sure.
to do their mm-hmm. expert thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes it more special, too, for them, knowing we
sure.
brought in experts. And we're excited to have a doctor and an
oh,
herbalist,
really?
Like a naturopathic okay. doctor, come in and do some of the self-healing workshops.
Gotcha. Tell them to eat the beans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. He's going to tell them everything we're doing is wrong.
Yeah. Wait, time. That's awesome. So if somebody wanted to sign up, where do they go?
Fitnessbyariel.com/retreat.
Okay. That's Ariel, A-R-I-E-L.
A-R-I-E-L.
Okay.
Yep. And then we're on Instagram @ Montana Wellness Retreat.
Okay.
And what else? Facebook.com/Montana Wellness Retreat.
Awesome.
Yep.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's shift into the fitness stuff as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved with all this?
Well, I always grew up in an athletic family. So
okay.
I've always played sports growing up. My parents and my brother, we all competed in kind of everything growing
okay.
up. So fitness has always been a part of my life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally, when I got to college and was looking for kind of a part-time thing, the
yeah.
recreation director said, you know, we're having this personal training class.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get certified, you could train here. You'd be great. And it was like, obviously, I would do that. You
sure.
know, I was already teaching my girlfriends how to lift weights.
Oh, nice.
I would already kind of show my friends around the weight room. My
mm-hmm.
mom showed me around the weight room at a really young age.
Oh, very cool.
So that was just a natural fit, and I've always been doing some form of personal training, group fitness
mm-hmm.
since then. So that was almost 10 years ago now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
you took the class, you got certified.
Took the class, got certified, and then since then, you know, you have to always keep up your credits, your
mm-hmm.
continuing education credits, they call them. And so over the years, I've done lots of other certifications to sort of develop my passions and what I like
okay.
to do. So that's where I got my spin. I got my yoga teacher training, my 200-hour a couple years ago. And then I've done lots of, like, other little workshops, like a sculpt yoga training.
Okay.
Which is, like, yoga with weights.
Oh, weird.
I've
okay.
done yin yoga, which is sort of like a different branch of yoga and philosophy. And, yeah, and then I've put on, like, various weight workshops and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So as I've grown in the fitness industry, I've worked at many different gyms, worked for many different people.
Sure.
And sort of honed down what my style is.
Okay.
And I think that takes some time.
Sure.
You know, I've worked in the YMCA. I've worked in an Anytime Fitness. I've worked
mm-hmm.
in a lot of big box gyms. And
mm-hmm.
More recently, I've started working in more boutique gyms that
sure.
offer kind of very specific programming or very
mm-hmm.
specific styles of group fitness classes. So
I've okay.
been able to see sort of different ways of running a gym, ones that have uh-huh. lots of members, ones where I have to get my own clients versus them just feeding me clients.
Sure.
So I've kind of been able to do a little bit of all of that.
Sure.
And now I'm in a place where I feel like I have a good foot in the ground where this is what I offer. This is
mm-hmm.
who I am. And
sure.
this is, you know, my style of training and
mm-hmm.
understanding too, that I'm, not going to be everyone's cup of tea
sure.
and that's
sure.
okay. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's hard in the beginning. Anytime you just want to like please everyone. And now
right.
I'm to the place where I'm kind of like, this is what I offer as a personal trainer. This is
mm-hmm.
what I specialize in. And working with enough clients over time, you get enough feedback from people
sure.
as to, who you motivate and who you click with and kind of who my clientele typically is.
Okay.
So.
Is it tough to sell personal training to, I guess, the client that you want to work with? No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Because now it just feels so natural to me. You know, it's, and I live this life. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
You do, like because you compete.
Right, I compete, and I still seek competition, even if it's not bodybuilding. Like I still seek that competitive edge. I like living a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I like to talk, you know.
And you're on the right show.
I like to talk with people, you know, and so I naturally just kind of live that life, and so then the people who are drawn into that, it's easy because they say, "Hey, I see you're doing this. What do I need to do to do that? Or I see your, you know, I see you like to lift weights and will you teach me how to lift weights?" You know, or, you know, people get interested because you're living your passion, you know, you're living what I love to do. So
you're not having a cold call or anything like that.
No cold calling.
I never knew. I've never been a personal trainer, but I've always been curious because there seem to be quite a few of them around. Like, how do you guys grow your book? Do you just show up at a gym and just wait for somebody to grunt too loud? Or
the best way to get clients as a personal trainer is word of mouth. Okay. And that's where I've gotten most of my clients.
Nice. Okay.
So it is hard in the beginning if you get in with a good gym space, which I've always kind of worked alongside a gym. So usually you at least get some baseline flow of people who come in and say, "I think I need a personal trainer. Who should I go?" And then they just get assigned someone. You know, but you get one good person with a big family and then you get their sister and their friend and their work buddies. Or when I have had to reach out, like when I do have a lot of open slots in my schedule and I feel like I could take on a few more people, I'll reach out to places where some of my clients work. If I know they work for a big company and see if they would do a wellness day at lunch, maybe like a short fitness break or just any way to kind of put myself out in the community and get people hearing my name and knowing what I'm doing. So.
And you get a good agreement to that, doing the fitness days and all this jazz?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting actually this week at an apartment complex, a new apartment that they just built, and I kind of knew the gal who runs their marketing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, brought it up that this would be a good idea, and so now I'm teaching 4 week series to 4 week series to all of their tenants, and you know, and even through that, you teach, you know, a class to 10 people, even if one of them comes in for personal training, it makes it worth
totally worth it. Sure,
yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
And once my schedule fills up, I mean, I've gotten to the point a couple times this last few years where I'm full and being able to just say, like, this is my max. And if I take on any more, then I'm not offering the quality that I would like to offer to the clients I do have. And just knowing kind of what's my what's my max number where I'm comfortable.
Sure. So here's an interesting point about capacity then, because realistically you could – You're essentially trading time for their time, right? So there's limitation there. And you can't train 24 hours a day on a reasonable schedule.
Right.
So, but I imagine you have to think and come up with workouts and stuff like this. So there's the volume of time that you have to actually devote to clients one-on-one gets pretty small, I imagine.
Right. And when you think about it, I'm not getting paid for the time I spend writing workouts or the time I spend answering emails or the time I spend doing this outside marketing for myself. And
sorry, I can't pay you.
And the prime times for training, I mean, I've been waking up at 4 in the morning, you know, 3 to 5 days a week for the last few years.
Sure, high five there. I'm right there with you.
It's not, like goals to not have to wake up at 4 a.m.
Oh, I don't mind it.
You don't?
No.
You're used to it now.
No, I'm so, like, it's quiet. There's no one around. Just, it's like before the rest of the world is woken up. Even squirrels aren't around, right?
Okay, I'll think about that when I'm driving to work.
Yeah, it's like...
it's so relaxing.
Oh, it is. It's so awesome. I even love, like, we have to travel to my wife's family or something like that. I always say, instead of going at Friday night, let's just go Saturday morning. I'll wake up, you know, let's just get on the road at 4 in the morning and just head out. Because there's no one around. I love that just silence, right? It's just cool. Or is this you and your mind? I love that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
a certain type of person, I think.
Yeah, like I didn't start out like, 4 a.m., right? It started like, I'm going to wake up at, instead of 6, I'm going to wake up at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And then you start doing stuff and you're like, no, what? I want to do a little bit more. So let's just make it 5:15. Mm-hmm. And then 5 and 4:30. And it just keeps growing. Eventually I said, okay, 4:10. I'm like, that's anything before that. Anything with a 3, we shouldn't be waking up with a 3. Agreed. Unless you're like a pilot or something like
right.
that.
Right.
Working third shift or something. Well, so I'm cool at 4:10. But it's so cool.
Well, most of the people, the general public, I mean, work, you know, normal working hours. So yeah. when do they want to train? It's before work or after work.
Sure.
So, you know, once I get to a full spot and I have a new client come in and they want to train after 5 p.m., it's kind of like, oh, you know, those right. are the prime times. It's
sure.
when you get someone who comes in and builds their own schedule like me mm-hmm. and says, oh, I can train at 1, you know, that's perfect.
Sure. Yes, finally. I've been working so hard to fill this slot.
Right, right.
And no, I suppose that's a challenge because then you're talking, if you got to get a client started at 5 a.m. and you're also taking clients 5, 6 p.m., mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. a long day.
It is. It's a very interesting schedule, but I get to go grocery shopping when no one else is there.
All right.
I never have to sit in traffic usually
sure.
because I'm there early hours in the morning mm-hmm. and then I'm, you know, usually at home to nap by 10 or 11 sure. a.m.
Right.
And then, you know, working sometimes 3 till 7 or 8 again.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of odd hours and it's an odd schedule and it's constantly shifting because
mm-hmm.
if someone gets sick or if, so, you know, I try to avoid the random gaps
sure.
in my day. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it seems like right when I get my schedule perfect and everyone's back to back, you know, something happens.
Sure.
Someone else's schedule changes and then you have to move people around. So that's a big part of it too.
Right.
I think anytime you run your own
sure.
show, you
sure.
have to take that into consideration
mm-hmm.
is how to build your schedule and
mm-hmm.
you know.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Do they sign up for a year or a month or is it day to day or how do they agreements or contracts, whatever you call them, work?
Yeah, the gym I work for now,
mm-hmm.
custom fitness specialists,
mm-hmm.
people usually sign up, it's like a month to month membership.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice because they're not in a long-term contract.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's kind of like this perfect mix between small group training and personal training. It's more
okay.
like a personal training session,
mm-hmm.
but it's much more affordable because
uh-huh.
there's 3 or 4 people in class with
gotcha.
You.
Okay.
But the nice thing then is that people pay for the whole month. Most of our clients typically come 3 to 5 days a week or 5 or 6
nice.
Days a week,
oh, wow.
which
All
is
right.
what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't. It's hard when someone comes in with personal training. It is more expensive. And typically if people just meet me once or twice a week, they
mm-hmm.
they buy, say, a 10-pack or a 20-pack. They only
sure.
want to meet once a week. Well, they should definitely be doing something outside on
right.
their own.
Right.
So that's part of the other things we do through Custom Fitness Specialists is written programs for people
mm-hmm.
to do on their own, especially the people I only meet once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then others will do a mix of the small group classes and personal training.
Gotcha.
And especially in the beginning, if they're very new, some people like to start out personal training.
Sure.
And kind of get their feet wet and learn
mm-hmm.
the correct form so that when they're in a class,
mm-hmm.
they feel like they know what they're doing. But
gotcha.
The
okay.
nice thing about the small class sizes too is we don't have a ton of trainers working for us. There's a small, close-knit group of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the trainers get to know the people really well. And the people who come at generally the same times get
mm-hmm.
to know each other. So you kind of have your same few people
oh,
or your same
sure.
kind of workout buddies.
It's just camaraderie.
Whether you like it or not. Yeah,
sure.
right.
Accountability, I imagine.
Accountability, yep. So we know all of our clients very well. It's not like a group fitness class where you come in and hide in the back.
Sure.
You know,
just go through the motions.
Right. We're there to watch your
sure.
every move and make
mm-hmm.
sure we're checking your form and
mm-hmm.
things. So so it's a nice mix that people can do a little bit of both if
sure.
they like.
Nice. So what do you have planned for the future? Is the idea to keep doing retreats or is the idea to start your own gym?
Yeah, I don't think I want to run my own gym.
Okay,
I've never
blame you.
Really been interested in doing that.
All right.
I'll always have fitness be a part of what I do. And
sure.
I'll always have personal training and group training and
mm-hmm.
Classes to kind of fall back on. But
sure.
I would love to have something more regular for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That is more along the lines of running retreats,
mm-hmm.
running larger events.
Sure.
Potentially, you know, a whole retreat center that can also be, you know, multi-use space
mm-hmm.
for weddings or for different styles of retreats, maybe not fitness.
Sure.
But ideally in a place where people also like to vacation.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so my plan is right now to move back to Arizona, where I'm from.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Flagstaff, Arizona, Northern Arizona is 30 mm-hmm. minutes from Sedona. It's driving distance to the Grand Canyon, 2 hours from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big vacation destination.
It's so a
big
it's a terribly ugly place.
Passerby. Yeah, don't go there. It's awful.
It's just desolate.
It's sort of like the state of Colorado in a cool little mountain town in Arizona. Nice. You know, people think of Arizona, they think of like the desert and sure. it's dry and hot. But Flagstaff, 7,000 feet in elevation. So,
oh, wow.
They actually have more snow than we do in Wisconsin right now. All my friends are skiing. So,
you say that like it's a good thing, and I'm so glad we don't have snow. They can have it.
But it's beautiful. It's not cold like here. It's not like chilling to your bones.
Sure.
Cold, you know?
Sure.
So it's That's a nice fair. Place to be. And I figure a place like that will obviously have more need for kind of like a destination.
Sure.
Fitness retreat or any kind mm-hmm. of wellness retreat and things like that.
So, nice. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. How soon is that happening?
Summer.
Summer, okay. All right. So a few months.
No
James.
Hard plans, yeah.
Gotcha.
No
okay, whatever. Plans, yeah. It's all good. That's yeah. that's all good.
Yeah.
So I did want to ask you in regards to business, customers and stuff like that. Since you're in the fitness industry, mm-hmm. And I deal with a lot of different people that are starting businesses, I feel like I could learn something when it comes to client motivation, and I feel like that is something that you probably have to deal with every day. So can you tell the listeners about just how kind of the different types of motivation you see people have mm-hmm. or not have mm-hmm. and how you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I have been thinking about this a lot lately because I just ran my first big online training program.
Mm-hmm.
I try to steer clear of that, one, because I don't love spending a lot of time online anyway, so it's sure. just not something that comes natural to me.
Okay.
But also, I'm not a cookie cutter type of trainer where sure. I'm like, you know, do this cookie cutter program
because sure.
it's perfect for you, because I know not everything is right for everyone, so I sure. don't really want to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so this was the first online training program that was sort of like one. It was through the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just ending tomorrow. And it was meant to kind of keep people motivated through the holidays.
Okay.
And, you know, it was really interesting. I sold it out. I took a max of 10 people, and I had 10 people sign up. And I would say, like, 3 or 4 of them really engaged with the group.
That's probably a good percentage.
You know, it probably is. But it has me thinking, like, you know, what are people motivated by? And I know, like, I've joined these free online, like, habit changing holiday thing,
sure.
like the 90-day challenge, whatever, and I'm not motivated by
sure.
those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they sound cool, there's a lot of great information, but at the end of the day, a lot of those things feel like more work.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me as a personal trainer, how to get people motivated, how if people feel good
mm-hmm.
or if they get that feeling, that either that rush of endorphins, or they leave going, you know, oh, I feel good, or I can feel my body in a way
right.
I couldn't felt before, that's going to stick more than, you know, I don't know, more than other things, like the
sure.
feeling you get in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's tough. I obviously have lots of clients that are really regimented, really on a strict schedule. They'll never cancel. I have clients who haven't canceled in years.
Nice.
And then there's other people who cancel all the time, who
sure.
kind of phase in and out. And so everyone is different. But I think at the end of the day, doing, like, figuring out what people like,
mm-hmm.
What people are struggling with, and mm-hmm. then, you know, kind of like where their insecurities are, and kind of building them up, building
sure.
them up from there, and giving them,
mm-hmm.
You know, breaking it down in a way that makes sense for them. Like,
sure.
some clients I have come in and they're all on board, and while it's very hard for them, they're like ready to learn something new, and
sure.
they're like, lay it out for me, what do I need to know, I'm willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, it's everything is over my head, the nutrition, I can't do the nutrition and the workouts all at once,
right.
I can only do one thing at a time,
right?
And so just meeting people where they are, and realizing that whether I think they can do it or not,
mm-hmm.
or what I think they're capable of or not, they need to be in charge of
sure.
setting their own goals. You can't tell someone what's important to them. Only
How
they
do you
can.
Not get so frustrated?
Oh, I get really
I
frustrated.
I would get so frustrated. I'd be like, seriously,
unless
you're saying
any of my clients are listening. I don't get frustrated with you. You're all great.
That's fair, that's fair. Way to save it. I feel like if I had to do what you do, with people saying, like, I can't do nutrition and fitness. Like, oh, are you just not going to eat? Like, people would be like, well, yeah, I'm going to eat. Well, great. What are you going to eat? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to figure out what you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm asking you to do, is figure out what you're going to mm-hmm. eat. Mm-hmm. It's like telling me I can't breathe and eat at the same time. Mm-hmm. What's going to go on? Like, are you...
Well, ugh, and then
I'd get so frustrated. So
the nutrition thing is like a whole other animal, right? Like,
sure.
That... there's so many different ways of... First of all, there's so many diets.
Sure.
And then even within what my approach and our approach is at Custom Fitness Specialists is mm-hmm. kind of a flexible dieting approach, or if people have heard of macro counting,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of a step further than counting your calories.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a flexible diet plan. It's meant to be a lifestyle. It's not
sure.
meant to be a diet. It's meant to be kind of like a... gives you a roadmap mm-hmm. that you can come back to that puts you in line with your goals. It's
sure.
not an all or nothing. It's not a, an elimination. You know, you can't have this, you can't have that.
Sure.
You can, it says you can have whatever you want within reason, and
sure.
depending on what your goals are, you'll have to make that more strict, or you can make it more flexible. And
sure.
But even that, you know, typically people use some sort of app or an online tracker
mm-hmm.
thing. And for a lot of people, they're, I mean, the whole technology thing is like way over their head.
Oh,
so
sure.
how do I reach them in a way that makes sense? You know, so I've had to write more like handwritten or, you know, typed out sheets that they can fill in by
mm-hmm.
hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so just developing that too, like, okay, what is this person motivated by? What are they actually going to do? And how do I make something up that makes sense to them
mm-hmm.
And gets them to stay motivated?
Sure.
And then also the challenging part is people set certain goals for themselves that I may not believe are realistic or healthy
okay.
or doable.
Sure.
You know, but once again, you can't tell someone what's important to them.
Gotcha.
Or not.
I want to lose 5 inches in 5 weeks kind of thing.
Right. But sometimes that's part of it too, is sort of helping them see the bigger picture and see like why weight might not be a good measuring tool for your progress.
Sure.
And that I know you want to look a certain way and feel a certain way in your clothes
mm-hmm.
and be strong and healthy and fit
mm-hmm.
and why getting on the scale and measuring your weight won't be a good indicator of how all of those things are changing.
Sure.
So being able to offer different ways of measuring their progress is mm-hmm. really important that keeps them motivated. You know,
sure.
for some people it's like stresses them out to the max to have to get on a scale, and so they shouldn't get on a scale because
it doesn't matter,
you know. And if
sure.
you want to look a certain way in your clothes, I want to take a before and after picture. I might want to take measurements, or I
mm-hmm.
might just want to, if you want to get stronger, we're just going to test your deadlift, and then we're going to
sure.
test it again in 6 weeks and see how much more you can lift. You know,
mm-hmm.
so there's all sorts of ways to measure people's progress. You
gotcha.
Know? And some of those are more specific, and others are just a little bit more vague. Like, I have a client who said she sat up out of bed for the first time and realized she didn't have to roll over to the side. Like, she had the core strength just to sit up.
Sure.
And she's like, I didn't even think about that before
mm-hmm.
being an issue until I did it, and
mm-hmm.
then realized how strong I felt. And like, that to me is
way
cooler
sure.
than getting on the scale and saying I lost 5 pounds.
Right.
You know,
you were,
right. Being able to say I can reach my arms above my head now and straighten
mm-hmm.
them all the way and,
mm-hmm.
and reach higher. I mean, that's real life.
Sure. Like, right. Usable. Right.
Yeah. That's usable. That's
mm-hmm.
functional fitness. And so, you know, being flexible and listening to people's goals is important, but then also offering your 2 cents on,
sure.
you know, having different ways of tracking their progress and
right.
motivating them. And, you know, but it is hard and it is draining, and I have to keep my cup full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't give and give and give.
Your cup full of motivation.
My cup full of motivation
sure.
and energy. And, you know,
sure.
I'm selling myself and giving myself
mm-hmm.
all day to other people. There's
mm-hmm.
no being off. There's no just showing up to work and kind of going through the motions
sure.
that day. You know, people will notice that.
Mm-hmm.
People will, you know, it just doesn't feel good for anyone. So
no,
whether
no,
you
I
feel
understand.
It or not, you got to be on.
Yeah, always on. I can...
Yeah.
Brings me to a story. I used to deliver milk for my dad.
Uh-huh.
And I used to have to, this was back when I was in college. I was driving a really heavy truck, like, I don't know, 40,000 pounds, something like that, full of milk. And you had to take off at, I don't know, it was 3:30, 4 in the morning, something like that. So it was Saturday that I had to deliver this stuff. So Friday night, you couldn't go out. you know, you're in the middle of college, but you can't go out because you have to go to work at 3:30 in the morning to drive this huge truck. Mm-hmm. And I remember making the mistake of going out the night before, and even though I didn't drink, I was riding on a couple hours of sleep. And you're driving this truck with only a couple hours of sleep, and then you go to this grocery store to deliver, and I messed up so many things, right? I didn't get in car accidents or anything like that. It was just like I knocked over this stack of milk or whatever, and it was a stupid mistake. On top of the fact it was a very skinny aisle, but in the end, I was the one that messed up. And I'm like, oh, this sucks, right? This is terrible, because I got 2 hours of sleep, and I can tell, like, you're just making mistakes when you're that tired.
Yeah.
And so I imagine when you're not motivated, and you're just like, run.
You learn the hard way.
Lift something. Like, you can't do that.
And the same story, you know, like, sometimes I do want to go out, and, you know, you work all day, and I work early in the morning, and even just not drinking but going out, it's hard to even catch up from that.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because then I still have to nap, and then I still have to write my workout. It just all gets backed up. You know, it feels like everything is on a schedule, and everything has to be followed to the T, and if you miss one, you're just kind of always behind.
Right.
You know, and if I know I'm going away for the weekend, I got to prepare for that so I don't feel like, you know, I've got nothing to give. I got to be ready to go Monday morning.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you're it's 24/7 now for you. Interesting. So do you ever have those clients that come to you and they're willing to pay and all that jazz, but they're just not putting in the effort? They're just kind of going through the motions just to say? So what do you do with those?
Well, I just keep going back to, like, what is your goal?
Okay.
You know, like, if my client is coming to see me once or twice a week and doing nothing else outside of that, but then tells me their goal is weight loss. Okay, well, we need to put you on a weight loss program. 2 days a week seeing me, bare minimum, is not what I would prescribe for a weight loss program.
Sure.
So just kind of coming back to reestablishing, like, what is it your goal is? What is the plan to get there? And for some people, they're like, you know, so stressed out with work, so stressed out with home life, barely making it through whatever their daily drama is.
Sure.
And they're like, I just need to work out twice a week. And that's fine.
Sure.
But, you know, just having them tell, you know, I need to hear that from you, my client, as to what your intentions are. So I try not to leave room for people to sort of not follow through with things and then complain about not seeing progress.
Gotcha.
You can't. Right. Not follow the plan.
I used Ariel and it was terrible.
So hopefully that saves me and puts some responsibility on them for, you know, it's okay. Not everyone has a weight loss goal, or not everyone has a, you know, specific athletic or aesthetic related goal.
Sure.
For some people, it's like, I just need to de-stress, and, like, coming and working out, lifting heavy things and forgetting about work for an hour is all I need. Great. Perfect. You know, I love that. And so, you know, I try, and people are going to go through hard times, and, and I, you know, try to be flexible and open with them, and I'm letting them know that I'm here for them, and, you know, pointing them in the right direction when they need it. That's kind of part of the thing with personal training too. I'm sure similar to hairdressers or other people.
Sure.
Is that you begin to be people's therapists a little bit, or at least their sounding board for a lot of things. And knowing when to be their sounding board is fine. And then also knowing when to tell them, to see someone else for certain things.
Gotcha.
Like, if it's outside of my scope of practice.
Shut up, lift this heavy things, and see a shrink.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm not a life coach.
Sure.
I'm not a therapist, you know, and I can be here and I can listen. I can give my best advice, but at what point is it outside of my scope of practice and outside of what I'm willing to give of my energy? You know, I haven't taking classes on how to deal with certain extreme situations, or you know, what I would view as,
I don't want liability in his answers, don't ask me.
No, that doesn't happen very often, and for the most part, I'm very close with all my clients, so we're on, like, cool, you know, good terms with everyone, and everyone goes through hard times, but it's part of establishing that trust too, is you know, hearing them and knowing what stresses them out, and knowing you know, the problems that they're going through, and that's really important, because it does establish trust between the two of you, and you know, so that's how you establish any relationship.
All right.
You gotta trust them.
That's true. That's fair. That's totally fair. It's interesting, because I see, I don't know, I'm dealing with business coaching clients, and a lot of them are extremely motivated and ready to work, and they're doing the stuff, and everything's cool. But I have some that's just like they're paying the bill. Some that are paying the bill. There's some that's not motivated and not paying the bill. And thinking out loud, like, maybe I just got to let that guy go.
Yeah.
Anyways, you got some that are paying the bill, but they're not going through. They're not actually taking the steps that you're recommending. And so they're just at that square one, staring at square one. And I'm like, yeah, we got to go to step two. And they're like, great, see you next week. And I'll be like, yeah, next week, we still got to go to that step two. And they're still just, okay, that sounds great. And then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. But they still go through the motions, still pay the bill. I'm like, at what point do I say, you know what, I'm clearly not doing anything for you. I don't know what you need. I don't even know who to send you, but you got to take step two. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I imagine that you have to deal with that on some, maybe even a greater level, because it's so much broader with fitness and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's different, and it's personal, mm-hmm. too. And sometimes it's personal. And even with you, you never know, like, what people's reasons are. And usually it's some sort of, like, fear-based thing.
That's fair. That's fair.
Or insecurity that might be so beyond what you even thought it could be. And I think just coming back to them and asking them to tell you, you know.
Sure.
I've told you 5 times to go to step two.
Right. I'm
still not going to step two. Why? What do you feel like you need from me in order to help you get to step two?
That's fair.
And so asking them, you know, and putting it on them, like, I'm here for you, this is what I offer, what is it that I can do better to get you there? And then, you know, normally it's them being like, no, I just need to get my butt in gear.
It's not me, it's you.
right.
Nice. So in the past few years that you've been doing personal training, what are some things that you've learned that you didn't anticipate either needing to learn or having to learn?
Yeah. Well, different populations of people responding differently to different forms of exercise. Like I said, the different ways of tracking food and talking about food.
Mm-hmm.
People have a lot of, and depending on where, this is really interesting, depending on where I've trained in the country and how people grew up has a big effect on what they think about food.
Really?
What they think about their bodies. Oh, yeah, like places that are typically more fit, you know, more of my clients in that sphere are, you know, not overweight, but looking for that edge of, I want to see my muscles, I want to be leaner, you know, but they're decent, what I would say are decently fit, versus other parts of the country where I have more people that are weight loss clients. Not only do I want to lose weight, but I need to lose weight for health reasons.
Sure, you're talking Wisconsin skinny here now.
Wisconsin skinny, exactly.
It's only 80 pounds overweight.
I think something that you don't get experience with in schooling, or I guess in the classes and certifications I've taken, is like that real life experience of how to talk to different people different backgrounds and different goals and ones that I haven't, you know, just new people who I haven't had experience with until I have, you know, meeting them there. And a lot of that is really learn as you go. I mean, I haven't learned anything too much the hard way, knock on wood, but, you know, I've learned ways of communicating are more effective than others with different types of people. And you have to kind of, if I see 8 different clients throughout a day, that's 8 different masks, kind of, and 8 different ways of communicating.
Right, you have to alter, you have to tweak kind of your personality. Yeah.
You act differently around your friends as you do your parents, as you do your kids. And, you know, so it's the same type of thing. So I've just learned a lot through doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also learned that I don't like to teach many things that are dance focused.
Oh, that came straight out of left field.
Yeah. Well, I've learned a lot of things. And
is that a thing with fitness?
Yeah,
I don't
know. Zumba classes or anything like choreographed to the beat of the music.
Sure.
You know, a lot of the Les Mills classes, things like that. And I've taken different types of certifications and had lots of opportunities to take. I've taken a few sort of like branded branded workout classes. I won't name them, but you know, and just learning things from them and realizing that's not my style, you know, and that's not It feels like if I were to teach your brand, mm-hmm. that I would be being inauthentic to myself.
Sure.
Because then I'm teaching your brand standard and not Ariel as a fitness instructor.
Sure.
And I actually just applied and interviewed for a job in town teaching it at one of the new kind of boutique group fitness studios. And I actually auditioned twice. And that was one of the things they said is, you seem to have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. You seem like a great teacher, but we can tell that you haven't taught brand, like corporate style classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree. And, you know, and then I thought about it and I'm like,
that's not a bad thing necessarily.
It's not a bad thing. And if I were to get more into the corporate world with fitness, then I'm kind of losing what makes me as
fair.
A trainer.
Totally fair.
And so I've sort of learned like that's a no for me, mm-hmm. that I'm not going to go that route.
Sure.
And nor do I want to start my own brand, mm-hmm. that forces other trainers or instructors to teach the Ariel method.
Right.
Because
the Ariel method, that's awesome.
I think it's just important to know what you offer as a person and mm-hmm. why and how people connect with you authentically. And granted, there's some great corporate boutique studios out there, mm-hmm. and many of which I like to go to, and the workouts are really fun.
Sure.
But when it comes to personal training, and it's personal because it's you, not because it's, you know, a big corporation that tells you this is how you need to test people, this is what you need to say, this is what you need to look like, this is how you need to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just feels really inauthentic.
Sure, that's fair
to me. And so
mm-hmm. interesting.
I just learned a lot about that, what is me and what is my own authenticity.
This all stems from your hate of techno, right?
Hate of techno.
Techno, house music, whatever they call it now. Stuff that heavy beat. The stuff I hear in the mall. I don't know. Doesn't matter. What have been some of your biggest challenges in dealing with clients and selling in any way?
Biggest challenges have definitely been switching gyms that I work out of.
Okay.
It gets tricky in any town, but especially, and Madison's a big city for me, but Madison I know is like small for most mm-hmm. people. And it is small. It's a small fitness community.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know each other. A lot of the big teachers and gym owners, they know each other.
Sure.
Switching focuses as a trainer, switching locations and switching gyms
mm-hmm.
is really tough, because how do you balance, you know, you don't want to pull your clients out of someone's gym,
mm-hmm.
but your clients want to follow you.
Sure.
And that puts a strain on relationships. And, you know, I'm a person who doesn't want to burn bridges. And I think all fitness people, if they have something good, should have room to succeed.
Sure.
Because people need fitness and health, and anything, if anyone loves it and it mm-hmm. gets them working out and it gets them healthy and fit and it gets them moving,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's great. And I hope that they're successful, and I would never wish ill on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, it's still, there's been some tricky situations when you switch gyms, and or when clients want to leave, or clients have internal issues within other people or other trainers or things,
mm-hmm.
and it just gets sticky. And so that's been kind of on the business side of it,
okay,
really challenging.
Sure.
And then I'd say on a personal level, like I said, just working with like a different variety of populations. A personal struggle was doing my own competitions, bodybuilding competitions, and training at the same time.
Training, like doing personal training?
Doing personal training. So I also had a bit of an overlap a year or two ago with, I was coaching. I had coached a few gals through their own bodybuilding season while mm-hmm. also sort of entering and exiting my own season.
Sure.
And that was really, really challenging.
Okay. Did you end up competing against them?
Not against them. There was a show or two where we were in the same show, but never against them. I was at a pro level at that time, so I had no one else on my team.
Sure.
I was competing against. But just balancing that, you know, it's hard to go through that intensive prep.
Sure.
And talking someone else through it while still maintaining your composure is very challenging.
All right.
And so that proved to be really tough. And that's another thing I learned that that is not something I prefer is bodybuilding coaching. And,
really?
Really. And it's something
I was going off the assumption that that was your aim, kind of.
No, I mean, you know, and I've competed on and off for the last 5-6 years mm-hmm. and my coach back home in Flagstaff, she owns her own gym, Build Your Own Body in Flagstaff. Mm-hmm. She's also a former competitor. And so between her and my mom who used to compete, they kind of introduced me to that industry. And so I've always kind of been involved in it, and I've had some friends who compete and help them with posing or kind of dabbled in it. And it wasn't until I started working for Lisa, Custom Fitness Specialist, that I really did someone's entire prep with the workouts and the nutrition and all of that as her kind of as my mentor.
Sure.
And it was tough, and I think I did a good job. I mean, my both of my clients did great. One of my clients had an undefeated season, so I call that a win. I mean, obviously it was all her hard work, but just to say that I coached her through that was a really, really special thing for her and for myself. And but realizing that that's not so much my focus. And,
okay.
You know, it's bodybuilding is a very personal thing for me, and I like to be part of other people's journeys, and I like to be helpful, and I like to be someone that someone can talk to about the hard times going through that. But I don't like to be the one inflicting the hard times on them as the coach.
At that level, you can see when they made a mistake, right?
Right. Well, right. And it's it's tough to get low to that kind of body fat, that kind of things that come up mentally for people. I mean, there's no handbook on how to deal with those issues as they come up. And I like to be the one who can be there for them, but not the one who's creating writing them the plan that's getting them to those challenging places. And I totally respect and honor all of my coaches and the people who write that, because it takes a certain type of person to be available like that to all of their clients, but detached enough to say, this is what I offer, this is what I don't, you know what you're getting into, this is what it is. And she's been doing it for so long, Lisa has, that she she's been through the ringer with so many people that she sort of knows the ins and outs of different types of people and personalities and what to expect. And so perhaps if I gave it more time, that would be something that I would learn too.
Sure.
But it's just not what I'm passionate about.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Right
now, you know, and it's not what lights me up, you know, from the inside. And running my retreat really did that for me. And that's how I know, okay, this is something I need to lean in towards.
Nice. So is the plan is to push more retreats or to create more retreats?
Yeah, so we're running our retreat this coming September, and we're running it for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we have two different options for people to sign up.
Sure.
And then moving forward, looking at the potential of running one out of the country, like a destination retreat.
Oh, really?
Like a beachfront retreat, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully, ideally, opening up my own retreat center and
nice.
Doing more things like that.
So. Cool. In Arizona.
In Arizona, hopefully. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Or who knows? Whatever the future brings.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Ariel, this has been super cool.
Yeah.
It's been enlightening. I love talking about people and motivation.
Yeah. Thanks for
lifting weights. Every once in a while, I come across people that make me feel out of shape. So I apologize if I feel out of shape next to you. Most people I don't. They're Wisconsin skinny, so it's all good.
But no secrets out. <here. laughs>
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country, on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business, on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Ariel Mierendorf of Fitness by Ariel. Ariel, can you tell us your website one more time?
Yeah, it's fitnessbyariel.com.
Fitness by Ariel, that is A-R-I-E-L.com. Awesome. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunpraymediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.